James, good morning.
Good morning to you.
Thanks very much for joining us here on The Daily. Now, looking at the current situation, how was ISIL actually able to wage so many successful operations that allowed them to gain so much territory in the first place?
Well, there's a number of reasons for this. The first is that much of the leadership of ISIL comes from the Iraqi military, the former Iraqi military, the one that was disbanded when the Americans went into Baghdad. As a result of that, the disbandment, many of them went underground and then linked up to what we can call the ideological wing of ISIL. And they're the ones who actually led the campaign. But there are two other reasons which I think are far more important. One of which is the grievances in the Sunni-dominated areas of Iraq, grievances against the American-imposed government of Nouri al-Maliki that the Americans had put in right before they left. Maliki and the government are Shi. Maliki is a politician whose spitefulness is matched only by his ineptitude. And ISIL was able to exploit Sunni anger. So that was one way that ISIL was able to win. But perhaps even more important than that was the fact that ISIL didn't really win. The Iraqi army lost. The Iraqi army, if you remember, ran away, left their weapons behind. This was a total collapse of the Iraqi army. So, there's a bunch of reasons why. Some of the soldiers didn't want to fight for the government. The army officer corps by this time had been totally corrupted by the politicians. Like most armies in the Arab world, this one was put together in order to put down internal dissent and not to fight an army like ISIL.
Well, the Iraqi forces since then have been able to push back in some areas, one-third of the eastern side of Mosul, and the US, they've also backed an effort to retake the Syrian city of Raqqa. Now, if these operations are successful, just how significant would those victories be in sort of ridding the grip of ISIL from the Middle East?
Well, there's two aspects to this question. I mean, one of which is that we will be able to destroy the caliphate. There is no doubt about that. Mosul will fall. Raqqa will eventually fall as well. But then the question that you're really asking is, then what? What happens to ISIL when it's finished with its terror, when it no longer has any territory? I wrote a piece for an online publication called The Conversation that your listeners might be interested in. And in it, what I do is I go through five scenarios, possible scenarios for what will happen in the future to ISIL. Let me start with the ones that are least likely. The one that is least likely is that ISIL will go underground and emerge at some future date. The reason why I think that that's unlikely is that there was a unique conjuncture of events that took place that allowed ISIL to, for example, win its victories, as we just spoke about, allowed ISIL to establish the caliphate in the first place. The world didn't anticipate it. Now it does. The second scenario is that ISIL will simply set up shop elsewhere. Over the years, ISIL has established franchises from West Africa all the way through to Afghanistan. This, I don't think, is likely either. ISIL is notorious for not playing nice with others. So there are various franchises have not been able to form alliances with like-minded groups. And as a matter of fact, like-minded groups have been working to roll back ISIL gains frequently as well. ISIL is also split apart in various places, factions that are continuing with ISIL, factions that want to break off. This is what has basically happened to Boko Haram in Africa. Scenario number three, more likely that ISIL fighters will continue to wage an insurgency in Syria and Iraq. Now, this is more likely, but they won't anymore be ISIL fighters. ISIL is committed to establishing a territorial caliphate. If it is reduced to merely fighting an insurgency, this means a great ideological disjuncture. And what this means is that ISIL will become like many of the other groups that are out there, for example, Jabhat al-Nusra in Syria, that are fighting to establish, fighting against governments that they consider to be heretical in some form or another. The fourth scenario is that ISIS disappears. And this is very possible that this will happen. The fighters will just give up and move on to other criminal enterprises. The reason why this is a possibility is that, first of all, we've seen this happening already with Al-Qaeda. But in addition to that, movements like ISIL that are extraordinarily dangerous and that attempt to realize the unrealizable, i.e. setting up a caliphate, have a very, very short short shelf life. If you remember back to the anarchists of the 19th and early 20th century, they were pretty much contained and then pretty much eradicated simply because, on the one hand, better policing across international boundaries, and number two, people just gave up on the whole idea. And then finally, there's the idea that perhaps former fighters and freelancers would continue their attacks globally, with or without any recognized organizational backing. Now, this too is a possibility, if only for a while. And as I said, there is a short shelf life to organizations like ISIL. If it doesn't have a central location from which it can create propaganda and disseminate propaganda, it's unlikely that others are going to join in the distant future.
Well, it seems rather intriguing to me because it does seem like we have this situation that groups like ISIL are very difficult for modern militaries to handle for precisely those kind of reasons that you are talking about, because they are sort of disparate in a lot of their organizations. Their tactics are a lot more difficult for modern militaries to deal with, and yet we seem to be catching up with them. And you're saying those kind of traditional ideas of we need to hold this territory, we need boots on the ground, is still going to very likely be the death of ISIL.
Well, I mean, ISIL is very different from Al-Qaeda. Al-Qaeda is dispersed, it's all over the place, it's got franchises, people are hooked into Al-Qaeda, not through any real central organization, but through a common commitment to an ideology. People will launch attacks for Al-Qaeda across the globe simply because they believe in the Al-Qaeda message. Now, compare that to what has happened to ISIL. ISIL is now in Mosul. We know where they are. They have a huge target painted on their back. They are easy to eradicate, as opposed to, for example, Al-Qaeda or some of these other groups. Now, ISIL as an idea is going to be more difficult to eradicate. But ISIL as a caliphate is quite simple to eradicate, and frankly, they've taken really big hits over the past year.
So perhaps just as a final point there, James, the role of diplomacy in something like this, can you bring diplomatic ideals to the table when you are trying to eradicate an idea rather than to negotiate with an enemy state?
Well, there's going to be no negotiations with ISIL in the same way that there's no negotiation with Al-Qaeda. I mean, think of it as the equivalent of 17th century pirates. You don't negotiate with these people, you destroy these people. These are criminal activities that both these groups are involved in. This is, I think, the way we have to view it. I think declaring war on terror was a big mistake. What we have to do is we have to get rid of the criminals in order to eliminate their criminal activity. There is no other way that can be done. They will not negotiate, and we should not negotiate with them in order to do that. Now, that being said, there is room for negotiation. And that negotiation is, for example, with other powers with vested interests in Syria, so that once that civil war is terminated, what we could do then is everybody turn their guns on ISIL. Now, the problem with that, of course, is particularly after the election of Donald Trump in the United States, the problem with that is that the Russians and the Syrian government are not going to sign on at the present time to any negotiations. And so what we're looking at now is a continuation of that civil war and a split within the anti-ISIL forces.
Mm. Well, James, thank you very much. Do appreciate your time. Do appreciate your insight into this one and joining us this morning.
Thank you very much.